house, Father. And Lord, we're not just talking about money and things. We're not excluding money and things, Father, but wealth and riches in your kingdom, Father, goes far, far beyond things and money, Lord. It's wealth in love, wealth in joy, wealth in peace, Father, wealth in contentment and satisfaction, wealth in ministry, wealth in helping and serving others, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you that our next generation, should Jesus tarry his return to the earth, is going to be mighty upon the earth, Father, and do great things for you. Thank you, Father, as we give this morning, receive these gifts from the spirit and heart of faith and cheerful heart that they're given. And may they bless and honor your name in Jesus' name. Amen. You give us unto the Lord this morning and be blessed as you do. Young adults tomorrow night at 7:00. We have a wonderful time with our young adults on Monday evening. Look forward to meeting with them again tomorrow night. And then, of course, water baptism this morning. Water baptism this morning. I mentioned that at the beginning of the service. And we'll be doing that here in just a few minutes. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The Lord was ministering some things to me during the night. And I was able to capture those things. And I'm looking forward to presenting. I don't know if we have time to get all of it this morning, but I'm looking forward to presenting these things to you. Praise God. I believe that the Lord is doing something very important among us right now. And I pray that you do not miss what it is that he's trying to speak to us and say to us. I've had many people in many different situations over the years say something along these lines to me. Pastor Mark, I need to get to the root of my problem. In other words, people are recognizing that they're dealing with issues in their lives that are coming from something inside of them that they can't quite seem to put their finger on. That there's something missing, there's something they don't understand, there's something that they need to be doing that they're not doing. And it's that elusive aspect of life and what the world would even call a mystery of life. Amen. And so what we're talking about now are root things. Amen. We want to get beneath the effect and examine very closely the cause. And a lot of times we, you know, root gives way to fruit. And a lot of times, you know, we'll get enough negative fruit in our lives to be motivated to do something about it. And then we get a little relief from that negative fruit, and we go right back to whatever it was we were doing before. That's why I often tell you the enemy to your best life is a better life. The enemy to your best life is a better life. Because we sometimes get in a place in life where things aren't going well with our family, they're not going with our finances, they're not going well with our career or what have you. And we, you know, we say, okay, I got to make some changes here. I got to do something different here. And for a lot of people, they look back on their life when things were better and they were in church. And they said, well, you know what? We got to get back in church, you know. And so thank God. Amen. Come on. Amen. And so we get back in church and we start drawing near to God again and start hearing from him again and start worshiping him again. And things start to improve in our lives. And then we let our foot off the gas. Amen. Are you hearing me? All right. So we're not just wanting to deal with fruit. We want to deal with the root. Amen. And a huge part of the root cause for anything in our lives that needs to be changed is directly connected to our understanding. Our understanding. And so let's look at it here, a few verses, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Paul says, therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Amen. So he's not talking about their physical eyes. He's talking about the inward eyes of the heart, the eyes of the understanding, their ability to see things as they truly are. My friend, this world is full of deception. This world, by the way, according to the scriptures and according to Jesus, whom we love and serve, Satan is running this world. God is not running the world. Are you hearing me? God is running the church. Satan is running the world. He is the God, lowercase G-O-D, of this world. He is the ruler of this world, according to Jesus. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Amen. And we are here to make a difference. Matter of fact, we're here to make a mark on this world that cannot be erased for the glory of our King. Amen. Amen. And so when he says that our eyes would be enlightened, he's talking about our having the ability to see things as they truly are, as opposed to the way the world presents things to be. The way people that you may work with, live next door to, go to school with, what have you, how they see things and how they think things are versus how things truly are. Amen. And when you look at the vast difference between the way Jesus lived when he was on this earth as a man and the way other people lived on this earth alongside him, then you're seeing the difference between someone who sees things as they truly are versus people who are not seeing things as they truly are. And so this is why Paul consistently prayed for the churches that we would have this spirit of wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God, and that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know, see with perception. That word know means to see with perception. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And of course, if we jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, we also see a connecting verse, a related verse. I'll put it up on the screen this morning. Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened." So do you see that's the difference between an enlightened understanding is a darkened understanding. And this darkened understanding causes people to be alienated from the life of God. That word alienated there is just a fancy word like being an outsider. Alienated, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And if something is futile, it doesn't matter how many times you tried, it will never produce the result you're looking for. And so this verse, of course, ties into another verse that we spent a great deal of time last year and early this year talking about, and that's in Proverbs chapter 3, where we're instructed to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to not lean on our own understanding. Now, I want to do my best to jump in where we left off last week, but not leave anybody out that wasn't here last week. So just stay with me and stay focused, and there's a few things that I really want to make sure we get covered this morning. And I want to begin by talking about the difference between knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding are related, but they are not the same thing. Knowledge is information. Knowledge would be facts and things that you know, things that you know about, things that you've seen, maybe even things that you've experienced. And there are many different ways that we can gain knowledge in life. Certainly we can gain knowledge from, going to school and studying textbooks and things of this nature. And then of course there's, the school of hard knocks, but you know, we've already been there and got graduate degrees from that, and we're not interested in learning the hard way anymore. But there's all kinds of ways in life that we can gain knowledge. And knowledge is important, especially the right kind of knowledge, let me say, is important. But knowledge and understanding are not the same thing. And a lot of times people use those words interchangeably as if they mean the same thing, but they do not. So I want you to think of knowledge as pieces to a puzzle, but understanding being connecting those pieces together so that you can see a more clear picture of things. So understanding differs from knowledge in that understanding is the way you see things. Understanding is the way you understand things to be. It's the way you look at things. It's the way you interpret, and I'm using bigger words now, and we can just go back to the simple one. It's the way you see things. And so knowledge being pieces, understanding, and literally this word understanding in the original language is a compound Greek word that has to do with putting the pieces together. And so when we understand, we sometimes say things like, "I got it now." We sometimes think of understanding as an aha moment. Last week we used the expression, "It dawned on me." Sometimes we'll say that when we come to an understanding of something, because the dawn, right, is when we're passing from being in the dark to becoming in the light. And so when it dawns on you, all of a sudden there's an enlightenment, and you can see things in a way that you've never been able to see them before. Now, again, knowledge is important. Knowledge is important, but we're instructed to get wisdom and to get understanding in the scriptures. Because as important as knowledge alone is not going to help you unless it affects your understanding and eventually becomes wisdom. Now, I'm not here to talk about wisdom so much this morning, but wisdom is the ability to take what you know and understand and apply it in a practical way to produce a result in your life. So when you hear the word wisdom, when you read the word wisdom in the scriptures, I want you to think of results. Every time you hear the word wisdom, I want you to think results. Something that you can do to get a result in your life. Something you can do to get a result in your life. And the Bible's very clear about it. There's the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of men, and then there's the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of this world will get you this world's results. The wisdom of men will get you men's results. But the wisdom of God will get you God's results. And there's all kinds of things that men's wisdom cannot, this world's wisdom cannot produce in your life. It cannot fix in your life. But with God, all things are possible to him who believes. So God's wisdom is the higher wisdom. But we need the wisdom of God, right? But again, it begins with understanding. Knowledge gives way to understanding. Understanding then makes way or prepares us to actually do what it is that we understand and that we know. Praise God. And so last week, thank you for bearing with me on my voice this morning. Last week we talked about the disciples. We said the disciples had firsthand knowledge of Jesus feeding the multitudes, but those experiences and that knowledge did not change their understanding. They participated in at least two mass feedings of thousands of people with a small amount of food, yet when they were in a boat alone, they started panicking because nobody packed a lunch and they thought they were going to go hungry. So notice now, they had knowledge of the supernatural. They had knowledge of God's ability to feed a whole bunch of people with just a little bit of food, but it did not change the way they saw their situation. We said it this way, knowledge becomes understanding when that knowledge shapes the way you see things moving forward. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. And let's talk about this and we'll come back to that. The Bible says that knowledge puffs up. What does that mean? Puffs up means it can make you prideful. Knowledge that never becomes understanding, knowledge that never translates into wisdom, meaning you never see things differently or do things any differently in your life, then that knowledge can actually, in the long run, become a negative in your life. For example, the Bible says, today, if you will hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts as in the days of provocation. One of the great problems that God has had with his people is that his people hear what he has to say, but they don't follow through and ever do what it is that he has for them to say. But now watch this. You can come this morning and you can hear the word of God and you can leave here feeling better about yourself because you gained knowledge that you didn't have before you got here. You can leave this morning, feeling better because you came to church and you actually beat the snooze button on your alarm this morning and got out of bed and followed through and came here because you've been saying for 6 months you were going to. And you say, man, I did better, right? But where that becomes deceptive is, it's one thing to hear something that makes you feel better about your situation. It's a whole nother thing altogether for you to begin to see your situation through the eyes of faith and through the eyes of God's wisdom, and then to carry through and respond to that situation differently than you have in the past. The disciples gained knowledge but continued to lack understanding, meaning they knew about miracles and participated in them, but yesterday's miracles never changed the way they saw tomorrow's problems. This is what we got to get a hold of right here. See, you may know about it, but you don't understand it if you continue to look at it the way you've always looked at it. Excuse me. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. If I have to, I'll hand this mic to somebody else. You can just read this. I just pretty much wrote this. Amen. Praise God. Devil was messing with me last. You know, I wasn't feeling good. I couldn't sleep. And 1:39. I said, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and keep coughing and wake Pamela. I'm just going to go get my laptop. Me and the Lord are going to have us a good time. Praise God. And so we did. Amen. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. Knowledge that never becomes understanding can very quickly become deception and lead to pride. The disciples gained knowledge but continued to lack understanding, meaning they knew about miracles and participated in them, but yesterday's miracles never changed the way they saw tomorrow's problems. And clearly Jesus wanted their experiences with the supernatural to alter the way they understood or the way they saw things in the future. Because when they were in the boat and no lunch, Jesus says, how is it that your heart is still hardened? How is it possible that you still don't understand? How is it possible that after all you've seen me do, after all you've participated and cooperated together with me in producing, that you still are coming to the conclusion that you're not going to have enough when you need it? In other words, Jesus fully anticipated and expected and was even disappointed that at this point in their growth and development, yesterday's miracles had not changed how they see tomorrow's problems. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. 1 John chapter 5, 19 and 20. It says, we know that we are of God. Do you know that you're of God? Do you know that? We are of God. How is it that we are of God? We're not just of God this morning because God created humanity. We are of God because we've been born of God. We've been born from above. We've been born of His Spirit. We've been born a second time of His incorruptible seed. We've become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. We've been made one together with the Lord. We've been made one spirit together with the Holy Spirit. We've been joined together in oneness and fellowship with God. We're of God. We are of God. And he says, we know that we are of God. We see with perception that we are of God. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But remember now, we're not of the world. But the world that we are currently living in is under the sway, under the influence of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Jesus has come and he has given us an understanding. Now, when we start talking about all the things that Jesus has done for us and all the things that Jesus has made us and all the things that Jesus has given to us, amen. That, my brother, sister, is a long conversation. Because The Bible says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared. You have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that you might know the things that have been freely given to you by God. But one of the key things that Jesus gave to us was an understanding. Again, his life being a divine expression of the intelligence of God. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. Think about it for a moment. What are words? Words are vehicles that convey meanings. And God has spoken to His people from the very beginning in the garden. God has always spoken to His people. But the Bible says in these last days, He has not just spoken to us through the mouthpiece of a prophet, but He has spoken to you and me in the person of His Son. Meaning the entire life of Jesus is meant for you and me to look at as an understanding of the way things truly are. Jesus came to not just tell us, but to show us and to demonstrate for us the way things truly are. We have been so indoctrinated by this world system. We've been so, our understanding has been so developed by our experiences in this world that we think the way things really are is the way things are in the world, and that Jesus is just this unique, special blip on the radar that's an anomaly that's fun to study and talk about, but has nothing to do with what's going on in our family this morning, has nothing to do with what's going on in our bank accounts this morning, has nothing to do with what's going on in our mental health, has nothing to do with whether or not we can live in peace and joy and harmony in our homes. He's just a novelty to so many people. He's just somebody that, you know, is a cool dude, man. You got to give him props. I mean, check him out, you know. Do you realize how many people dismiss Jesus on planet Earth? And listen, they gave him credit. Man, I've never seen, they've never seen anybody stand up to religious bullies the way Jesus did. They'd never seen anybody do the things that the way he did them. Never heard a man speak like this man. And yet, they never allowed what he came to give, to do, and to make them change their understanding of how things work, how life works. Amen. And Jesus told, listen to me now, Jesus told us some amazing things. And it wasn't like he was just trying to see how difficult he could make it for you. See, that's what the devil's trying to do. The understanding of this world that we've accepted as the way it is and as the way things truly are. And if you're going to have anything in life, this is the way you're going to get it. And if you're going to accomplish anything in life, this is how you're going to accomplish it. And if you're ever going to make anything of yourself, this is how you're going to make it of yourself. All these different things, all these different answers that the world presents to us, this is what it means to have a darkened understanding. We think that's how it truly is. Jesus came and told us a completely different way, a completely different process of achieving and living and accomplishing and being victorious in life. And people look at him and go, isn't that cute? Love your enemies. Yeah, right. So we don't understand is Jesus knew. Jesus knew what the devil's trying to do with anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and rage and hurt and isolation and being a victim. Jesus knew what the devil was trying to produce in people's lives and ultimately their understanding by all that junk. And so he says, I tell you what, just forgive them. And if they ask you to go 1 mile, go two. See, our own understanding, we can't wait for somebody, 4 seconds for somebody to put their cell phone down and recognize the light's green. And they're looking in the rearview mirror like, is that guy that goes down to Heritage? Who is that? You understand, go the extra mile. You understand what that was? By Roman law, because Roman soldiers carried packs and gear and stuff. And so by law, you could be sitting at a roadside cabana having a lunch with your family, and a Roman soldier could by law tell you to leave the table and carry his pack for him 1 mile. And you better do it. Well, people griped about that, complained about that. And Jesus said, yeah, that's right. Keep on griping and complaining. Maybe somebody somewhere will do something about that. No, it's not what he said. He said, how about have the right attitude, help the man out, and after you come to that 1 mile marker, tell him, hey, I'll carry it another mile for you if you let me tell you about my best friend Jesus. Now see, again, we don't understand this. We don't understand this. This don't make sense to us. And notice now, I'm not seeing anybody would dare do it this morning. Maybe somebody would be bold enough to do it. But we've all got our reasons why Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah, you do that enough, you'll be the world's doormat. You do that enough, people will run all over you. You do that enough. Do you think if you do that enough, God's going to let people run all over you? Oh, see, again. I'm getting too far ahead of myself. Let me stay focused here. I'm just trying to show you what it means that Jesus has given us an understanding. Let's look at this same in, let me go back here. Has given us understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Reckon he's trying to emphasize true? How things truly are? What is true? I'm not going to get too much on this right now, but you just hear me, please, okay? Hear me, please. What's going on in our world right now is this movement called My Truth. That's My Truth. I don't know if you recently heard I think she's the CEO of NPR Radio. And she said, we've told our reporters not to really focus so much on truth because what truth is to one person may not be true for another person. Journalism used to be a respectable field. And there's still some good ones out there. I don't mean to lump them all in there. But you realize now it's not about finding the truth and reporting the truth. It's about putting a slant on it to accomplish somebody's agenda. And so now, notice, well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Let me tell you something. If it's truth, it's true for everybody. Now, there can be a fact that's a fact about one person and not a fact about another, but if it's truth, There's only one truth. He's the eternal, uncreated Son of God. He is truth. Let him be true and every man a liar. But he's true. And thank God there is absolute truth in our world, because it's the truth that we anchor to. It's the truth that we look to. It's the truth that we hold on to. Because if there is no truth, then we're all at the mercy of a liar who wants to end our lives early and in misery. The devil. That we may know him who's true. And we are in him who's true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. Eternal life. Same passage from the Passion Translation. We know that we are God's children, that the whole world lies under the misery and influence of the evil one. And now we know that the Son of God has made our understanding come alive, so that we can know by experience the one who is true. And we are in him who is true, God's Son, Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. Now, your understanding, again, is how you see the world. It's how you think things work. And your understanding is something that has developed over the course of your lifetime. This is why different generations look at things differently from the generations that came before them. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just trying to help you understand why your parents, young people, look at things differently than you do, and you look at things differently than they do. And because your understanding is still developing, you need to listen to God and you need to listen to your parents. But it's amazing, as I get older and more generations, you know, what can be really important to one generation all of a sudden is another generation doesn't even understand that as being that big of a deal. Three generations ago, that was all that mattered. Now, listen, what I'm going to try to explain to you, if not this morning, next week, both God and the devil are trying to influence your understanding. Amen. Because they both have agendas for your life. God has a great agenda for your life, a life-giving agenda for your life. Satan's only coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're both trying to influence your understanding. And so when we talk about these generational differences, those are things that can be good, but also if the enemy gets involved, it could be negative, right? How many of you young people realize that you don't look at money the way your grandparents and great-grandparents look at money? Y'all are looking straight ahead like, I ain't about to take that bait, Pastor Mark. Don't look at it the same. Do not look at it the same. How's that? I'm fixing to butcher this. It's not in my notes, but let me see if I can kind of summarize it here, okay? Hard times make tough men. Tough men make easy times. Easy times make soft men. Soft men make hard times. I might have left something out of that, but that's the gist of it. And so your understanding is something that has developed over the course of your lifetime. My dad was raised, he's one of eight. His mom and dad and some extended family members lived in their two-bedroom house. Are you following what I'm saying? Got two pair of pants a year. You don't need shoes. You see what I'm saying? You don't think his experiences in life are going to work over time to develop an understanding of things different? Me, my brother and sister now raised our own bedroom. Carried to the dentist. Stuff we take for granted is like, generations before, like dentists, that's for the rich people. You get a bad tooth, we'll yank it out for you and give you some salt water and keep go back to work. See, young people listening to me right now, that's abuse. They call DHR. There wasn't no DHR in those days. I mean, again, it's just, I'm not saying let's go back to those days, but I'm just saying your understanding is something that has developed over the course of your lifetime. And that can be good. We can learn from what's the right way to say this? Amen. We can learn some things that we need to learn about managing money and saving money and pinching pennies from a generation that had to wash aluminum foil if they even had some to use. Like aluminum foil, what in the world was that? We put a dish towel over it and left it sitting on the counter and didn't worry about somebody getting sick. If you got sick, you just went outside and vomited or had diarrhea and came back in and ate some more. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just the way it was. Am I right about it, some of you older folks in the room? That soft generation that started burning the flag, my God, help us, Jesus. See, they have no idea what a man like Ed Canada or Ronnie Croswell and others sacrificed to defend that flag. Well, you don't think these men are going to have a different understanding from somebody that raised in the lap of luxury and never hit a lick at a snake? And are you following what I'm saying? See, again, I'm spending too much time here, but maybe not enough. Your understanding is something that has developed over the course of your lifetime. Breaking free from a darkened understanding means allowing the Holy Spirit, along with the Holy Word of God, to redevelop your understanding and change the way you see things. And by things, I mean like important things, like the way you see God, the way you see yourself, the way you see others, the way you see the world around you, the way you see your place in this world, the way you understand things to work in this world. Experiences, especially traumatic ones, play a key role in the development of our understanding. Trial and error. Why don't we always say trial and error? Not every trial ends in error. Trial and success. I've learned some things from trial and error, but I've also learned some things from trial and success. Is that the first time you've ever heard those two words linked together, trial and success? I've never heard those two words put together. Holy Spirit, you know, about three this morning. He said, you know, there is a such thing as trial and success. You step out in faith and do something in a way you've never done it before, and then you, wow. Trial and error, trial and success. But now watch this. We begin to learn at an early age to avoid things that produce negative emotions and how to pursue things that produce positive ones. As more and more pieces, and this is the part I want to get to, so just give me a couple more minutes and then we'll do what the baptisms and that sort of thing. Are y'all okay? Y'all get anything out of this morning? As more and more pieces of your understanding come together, this is important now. We got to hear this. Praise God. As more and more pieces of your understanding come together, they are shaping the way you look at things and how you consider other things. This is why everyone does not see things the way you do. It's why everyone doesn't understand things the way you do. Your understanding becomes the means for evaluating all other concepts, ideas, and experiences. It's the lens, like glasses lens, it's the lens through which you view life as it unfolds and presents itself to you. Once that insurance commercial, life comes at you fast. Now, as our understanding develops, this is what you got to hear, okay? As our understanding develops, we become more and more biased. Do you understand what biased means? Biased is like when you take one side over the other. Okay? So as our understanding develops, we become more and more biased towards things that confirm what we think and believe, and we become more and more blinded to other ideas and possibilities. Are you seeing this? Okay? So we have expressions for this. Close-minded, narrow-minded, wearing blinders. Jesus called it a hardened heart. Now, amen. This is the last verse for the morning, okay? John chapter 8 and verse 37. If you understand what's going on here, Jesus has just dealt with some things in the temple, and it's attracted a crowd, and he put the religious bullies in their place, and there were some Jewish men and women who witnessed this, and the Bible says that they believed on him. Now, we look at that, and we automatically think believed on him means they gave their heart to Jesus. That is not what that means. It means that they gave him credit for doing something they'd never seen anybody else do. So when you see they believed on him, you have to ask yourself, okay, what'd they believe? And this is what Jesus said to them. He saw a crack in the door. He saw that they were actually paying some attention to him where previously they perhaps ignored him. And so Jesus says this to them. He says, hey, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they all gathered in a circle and sang Kumbaya. Is that what happened? No. They were outraged that Jesus would dare suggest that they were in bondage to anyone because they're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone, and they don't need Jesus or anybody like him, for that matter, to make them free because they are free. That was their attitude, right? Notice now Jesus, in the course of this conversation, Jesus is trying to explain to him that he came to this earth to take slaves and make them sons. And he says, you know, a slave doesn't abide in the Father's house, but if the Son makes you free, you'll dwell in Father's house forever. Again, they snap right back at him. And so Jesus says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. My word has no place in you. New Living Translation. Yes, I realize that you were descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. You see, the more the puzzle of your own understanding comes together, the less room there is in your thinking for different ideas, possibilities, or new beliefs. Are you following me now? This is important. This is what we're talking about, a darkened understanding. It's closed. An opened understanding, enlightened, it allows light in. A darkened one, it won't allow new ideas, new thoughts, new possibilities, new beliefs to enter in. This, again, is this closed-mindedness, this hardened heart. A hardened heart doesn't mean necessarily that you're cruel to other people. It means your heart is set like concrete, and Jesus can tell you things, and you can take notes and know them, but it never changes the way you view your life moving forward. You continue to see things as you've always seen them, despite hearing him speak and watching him demonstrate what it is that he just told you. One more time. Jesus said, I've brought you an idea that will set you free. I've brought you truth that will change your life and your family tree forever. He says, but you've basically put your own pieces together in your heart, and now there's no room for my peace. Are you seeing this? It didn't fit. It didn't fit the way they understood. Every time, by the way, if you're curious, read it later. But Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, he fell into a rhythm. Good preachers fall into rhythms. Amen. It's a way to communicate. All right, poets, for that matter, music, people who write music fall into rhythms. Jesus fell into rhythm, and the rhythm goes something like this. You have heard it said, But I say unto you, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, no, I'm just kidding. So he's getting into it, right? I picture him getting into it, passionate about it, bearing down on it. Do you realize everything he said, you have heard it said, he was quoting from the Old Testament. But I say unto you, he wasn't saying the Old Testament was wrong. He was saying how you understand it's wrong. How you understand it's wrong. But notice now, love your enemies. Whew. To this day, there are very few people that have a place in the puzzle of understanding in their heart that will fit in. So I'm saying, it's like, I know you said it, Jesus, and we're trying. You know, but again, you don't understand why I would ever say such a thing. Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, y'all come on, praise God. If our candidates for baptism, ladies over here, men over here, praise God, I'll join you guys and I'll be up there in just a second. Amen. They're going to lead you in worship. Please stay. It's 11:47. We try to get through by 12. Let's celebrate with these people. These young people that are being baptized this morning, they're doing something in their lives to honor God. And we want to honor them as they honor God. Amen. Amen. Okay. So they're going to lead you in worship, as we prepare, and then we'll do the baptism. But I want to pray for you as they're making their move. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for helping our understanding, Father. Jesus, you came to give us a whole lot of stuff, and one of them is an understanding of how things truly are. Father, I pray over every person listening to me right now for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, and that we may see with perception what is the great expectation of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance already inside of us, the exceeding greatness of your power directed towards us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, raised us up together to sit us together with him in heavenly places. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together as we get ready for baptism.